It was Christmas Day was uneventful for Tracy and I, so it was a good Christmas. So now I have to admit, I love getting so many messages and encouragements from many of you on my church family on Christmas Day of how you celebrated on Christmas morning and before you did anything else, which was really awesome. It really touched my heart that families were praying, they were opening up God's word and thanking him for the many blessings before they unwrapped the first gift. And because he is the gift, right? Yes. He is the gift. He is why we have Christmas. He is the reason for the season. Now that we've survived and celebrated the Advent season, I was thinking, where does God want us to go from here? And I was like, the end times part 57? What should the church be doing? Just kidding. Now, as God has led me this week, as I was spending time with him, and it's been really awesome, I've been getting extra time with God over the last week, and I just feel so blessed by that. But I've been getting this overwhelming feeling that of the importance to encourage each of us as we are heading into a new year. Now, as the Christmas hype is slowly coming to an end, and maybe some of you it's already coming to an end, but you know, the days after Christmas involved taking down the tree and taking down all the lights. It might mean a few days off from work, trying to figure out how to pay for Christmas. It probably also means New Year's resolutions, making future plans to diet or get out of debt or start a new job, or maybe it's looking to go on some new adventure. Maybe you are reflecting on the year God has brought you through, the things you don't want to repeat again, the things you want to do a better job of, right? Unfortunately, this time of year can be even more stressful than the season that we just came out of. It really can. So as I was thinking, I think it is important for us to unwrap one more gift. I think it's important for us to unwrap the gift that keeps giving. And that gift is God's grace. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That song that played during communion, do you believe God's still working on you? He's working on me still. Changing me piece by piece. And there's a verse in there I also love, because what I believe in all my heart is that you could be in church anywhere. And if you are a born-again believer and the Word of God is being presented, that God has the power to touch your heart, to change your heart. And I love that verse in that song that said, you know, it was every sinner in the church got a story like yours, right? Till you read about grace and you're reading the word, and then a couple red words come to life, and then you realize he's still working on me. He's still working on you. Now, Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, Christmas gifts get returned, right? They get forgotten. They don't last forever. But God's gift of grace is permanent. And we have a no return gift in Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know about you, but that is the most beautiful reminder for me. Is God's gift of grace is the gift that keeps on giving. The first thing I want to share with you from this scripture this morning, if you're taking notes, I don't know, we didn't give you a bulletin today. But hopefully you'll just take it all in. But the first thing I want to share with you is this, the Christmas gift exchange. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, the gift of God's grace. Anyone love the gift of God's grace this morning? Amen. Amen. And amen. Have you received God's gift of grace? You see, here's something that I believe is important to recognize about God's gift of grace as He has shared with me this week. That is this. God's grace is for all people. You see, Luke chapter 2:10, we read that at Christmas, right? But there's something in there that I think is so vitally important that we hit on again this morning, and that is this. It says, Luke 2:10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people,'" right? All the people. The good news of Jesus Christ is that He comes to everyone. He comes to everyone. He brings heaven to earth for all people. Now, something you have to understand about God's grace is this. God's grace is showered on all people. Okay? God's grace isn't just showered on the believer. God's grace is also showered on the unbeliever. You see, here's the thing. God's grace does not mean that everyone is saved. Okay? God's grace does not mean that everyone is saved, yet God's grace is showered on all people. Grace is something that God extends to everyone through Jesus Christ, right? God's grace, I will say this though, God's grace leads many to salvation, right? But God's grace isn't salvation. There is such a thing as God's prevenient grace. Now, God's prevenient grace is extended to everyone, all people, okay? I think that's something that is so important to understand about God's grace. You see, God's prevenient grace extends to all people, preparing their hearts to respond to the gospel, right? It's God's grace that loosens sin's grip on a person and enables a person to choose faith, making salvation a free gift received, not earned. Now, for example, I saw God's prevenient grace in my own life. Now, I'm not saying that I understood it at the time, but I didn't understand His prevenient grace while I was receiving it. You know, a lot of people go through life and they get this prevenient grace of God. And maybe they think that they must be doing okay. But the reality is, as I have become a believer and I've been walking with the Lord for many, many, many years now, I look back at God's grace that He extended to me in a time when I was not a believer. I didn't quite understand it while I was receiving it, but it did make sense once I entered into a relationship with Him. You see, one time I was hit head on in the car, engine in the back seat, rode in an ambulance, thought I was going to die, walked out of the hospital with just a scratch on my head. Prevenient grace. You see, in my BC days, I was quite the party animal. I was always the life of the party, I think. Or that's who I wanted to be. There were times that I woke up the next morning, didn't know how I got home without killing myself or killing someone. Prevenient grace. You see, church, prevenient grace means to come before. It means to come before, and it is the evidence of God's grace initiating a relationship with Him. See, God's prevenient grace is given to everyone. It is given to everyone, not just to a chosen few, making salvation available to all who will respond to God's grace. Romans 2:4 says this, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" See, church, God's kindness to us, before we know Him, leads to repentance. If we wake up and recognize that it's His grace. You see, God's prevenient grace enables free human response to faith and repentance to God's initiating us, but never forcing us to choose Him. You see, prevenient grace loosens sin's grips on us. John 6:44 says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Here's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that they want to talk about this, that only the people that God wants to come to salvation comes to salvation. There's a lot of people that like to yell this card of predestination. And yes, the word is in the Bible. But what is the predestination of all people is that all people come to know Jesus. That's the predestination. And so therefore, God's grace is poured out on all people, and every single person who ever has been given life has the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Does not mean that everyone is saved. It just means that everybody will have the opportunity because of God's grace, His prevenient grace. You see, church, God is at work in every single person's life by extending His prevenient grace to them. The question isn't whether God's grace is given. The question is whether or not a person recognizes God's prevenient grace in their lives. I remember when I was hit head on and the next day I had to go get things. I probably told this story before, but you know, I had to go get some things out of my car, and I went to that car and I just stood there, and Tracy had driven me there because my car was obviously totaled, and I was standing there. And I looked at that car and with the engine in the back seat, and I'm sitting here going, okay, look, I was right there. I had my seatbelt on. Yep. There's no reason why I should be here. There is no reason why I should be alive, right? It was at that moment that I started to recognize that there was something bigger than myself. And His name was God. And He was doing a work in my life that, you know what, I tried to ignore. I tried to walk away from it, but there was just no way I could ignore it. Because of that grace, because I should not have been here, I shouldn't be standing before you right now. There's been so many things in my life that has happened where things shouldn't have worked out the way that they worked out for me. But because of God's grace and His work in my life, here I am. You see, again, it's not whether or not a person is given God's grace, because we are all given God's grace. It's whether or not you see it or not, that you recognize it, and then you turn your life over to Him, right? Again, prevenient grace, then it was that time when I was sitting there contemplating, what in the world has happened? I wasn't lucky. You won't find that word in the Bible. You won't find unlucky in the Bible. What you'll find is God's grace working on you and working in your life each and every day, drawing you. Because what happened was that grace led to my salvation. Prevenient grace, God's grace, leads to salvation if we recognize. It's what God's word says, right? It is by grace you are saved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Salvation is a gift, amen? It is a gift. Not everybody gets the gift. Not everybody receives it. Everyone is offered it. Everyone is offered the gift. But only those who open the gift are saved. You see, salvation is not earned as well, it tells us in this verse. Other religions in our world will tell you that you have to have Jesus and fill in the blank. You have to have Jesus and works. You have to have Jesus and lead this kind of life. You have to have Jesus and you need to do this. You need to do that. The reality is, the only one you need to be saved is Jesus. The only one you need is Jesus. Salvation is God's initiative, not ours. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Again, prevenient grace leads you to put your faith in Jesus. You trust Jesus with your life and your future. Faith isn't a work. Rather, it is receiving the gift of God's initiating grace through God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And then when that happens, life changes, right? You see, Jesus is the object of faith, and He is the key to our salvation, and it all started with God's gift of grace. So the Christmas gift exchange, you have the greatest Christmas gift exchange you have ever been involved in and you have ever received was the gift of God's grace by sending Jesus Christ to this earth to save us. God's grace led us to, by faith, receiving the gift of God, which is in Jesus Christ. It says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The next thing I want to share with you this morning is this. The no return gift. The no return gift. I love this. Ephesians 2:9, it says, not by works so that no one can boast. You know, not by works so no one can boast. Oh, look, I did this. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I got saved. You know, I remember a family came to me. Oh man, this has been years ago, years ago. They walked into my office and they said, Pastor John, we got to be saved. And I said, well, hey, we can take care of that. No, we need you to take us down to the lake and we need you to baptize us to be saved. And I said, no, it's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. That's a work. Baptism is a work, right? There has to be something that happens before baptism. Baptism is important. God's word tells us to be baptized. But our salvation is not contingent on whether we're baptized or not. We got to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We got to receive Jesus Christ, the gift of God, to us. And I'll never forget that conversation. And I'll never forget it because that family walked out of my office and never received Jesus. Because they thought that they had to work to get Jesus. They had to go and do this to get Jesus. No, it is by faith you have been saved. In who? In Jesus. It is by faith you have been saved. And once you're saved, there's this no return gift, right? Not by works, so that no one can boast. God's grace, my friends, is a permanent no return gift in Jesus Christ. You see, ultimately, God's grace God's unearned favor saves us. There's a song by Toby Mac says, "Ain't nobody but God did it," right? There's no way around what people can't explain away is too good for me to doubt. I don't need to doubt it. I have God's grace. God's grace every day. And I got Jesus, right? Once we recognize God's work in our lives and our need for Him to save us from our sins and that we cannot get to heaven without Him, you can't. Because church, we're not good enough. We can't show up to church enough. We can't give enough. We can't serve enough. Salvation is not from our good works. That's what the Bible says. Salvation is not from our good works. Let me say this. Good works does not add to salvation. It does not. Okay? It does not add to salvation. God's work, God works in us, in and of itself, is not evidence of one's salvation. You know, good works is not in and of itself evidence of one's salvation. I think about this. I mean, think about this. Think about the most wonderful time of the year that we just came out of. You know what? We were driving in Greenwood, and there was a homeless guy that was holding a sign, and there was this sign, and people were just, you know, people were, they were handing things to this guy, and I thought, man, that is so awesome. But you know, the reality is that doesn't mean they were saved. You know what? Somebody shows up to church and they go, "Hey, there's this mission that we got this Saturday. We're going to go and build this ramp for this handicapped person in the community." And they show up and they go and they build this ramp. Doesn't mean they're saved. Okay. So something we need to understand is that good works is not necessarily evidence of one's salvation. Because at this time of year, everybody wants to do good. Everybody does. Everybody wants to. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Only Jesus saves. Amen? Only Jesus saves. Good works do not save us. There is a difference in good works, though. Okay? Now, I want to make sure I make this clear. Because the unbeliever does good works. There are a lot of people in the world that do good works. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you know, somebody gets a bonus and they say, "I just want to go and I was blessed by this bonus and I just want to go, I just want to give some of it away," or whatever. Doesn't mean that they're saved. And let me just tell you, the unbeliever does good works out in the world so that they can feel good about themselves. That's the thing. The unbeliever wants a feeling, right? I mean, that's what a lot of people in our world are chasing these days, you know. A feeling. It's all about a feeling. It's like, I need to feel good about what I'm doing. The unbeliever does good works in the world so that he can feel good about himself. Now, I've talked to many people out in the world that cannot wait to tell you about all the good things that they've done in the world. You know, they show up and they go, I just got to tell you what happened this week. And then they just start talking about me, 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 me. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You see, they go out and they, you know, "I saw this family struggling and I went and I bought them a whole bunch of Christmas presents. Oh, it just makes me feel good inside to see a family happy. You know, me, me, me." Now, the believer does the same thing. The believer does the same thing, but never mentions it because it's not about them. You see, you see God's saving grace, a saving grace that you cannot return, right? It causes you to give God the glory in all that you do. You see, God's saving grace, a saving grace that you cannot earn. You can't earn it, right? We just determined that. You can only find salvation in Jesus. Can't earn it. Can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to gain a bigger house in heaven or whatever. God's saving grace eliminates human pride, is what it does. You see, God's saving grace causes the follower of Jesus Christ to respond out of thankfulness and appreciation for what God has done for them. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You see, Christians who have been changed by God's saving grace allow the good works that they do to bring praise to God. Our good works point others to Jesus, not ourselves. It does not. Now, God's saving grace also removes self-righteousness and boasting. You see, through God's saving grace, God's people recognize that there really isn't anything good in them. Romans 7:18, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Church, we are only good because God made us good. Amen? That's the only reason we are good. Galatians 6:14 says this, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Sometimes we struggle with this whole flesh thing, church. I get it. We all do. I'll be the first one to point the finger at myself. Which leads to the next thing that I want to share with you this morning, as we head into the new year, and that is this: allow God's gift to help you live as God's masterpiece. You see, verse 10 says what? It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Did you know you are God's masterpiece? If you have received God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been created in Christ Jesus. That's something that some people have a hard time with or whatever, because there's a lot of people out in our world that say, "Well, I was born in the image of God." That's what they say. That's couldn't be further from the truth. Okay? You weren't born in the image of God. You were not. If that was the case, then God is a you have homosexuality, you have murder, you have adultery, you have all these things that we struggle with in the flesh, right? Now, if you were made in the image of God, then that would mean God's that way. But that doesn't at all line up with Scripture, right? You weren't born in the image of God. People are not born in the image of God. They are born in the image of Adam because of the fall. Okay, flesh has taken over. Okay, we are born in the image of Adam. However, I love Romans right here in 2:10, right? Romans 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." So something happens when we are saved. We are being recreated into who God wanted us to be from the get-go. Okay? So I'm not saying you can't be created in the image of God, but it's going to take a lot of surrender, it's going to take a lot of work, and it can only happen if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The only way is if Jesus is your Savior, right? So, you have been created in Christ Jesus. Anybody here on Team Jesus, right? So that means we're being created in Christ Jesus. It means that you are a new creation. You're a new creation, not just a repaired version of who you once were. That's the thing. When Jesus steps into your life, you're no longer what you used to be. So why are we acting that way? Why do we live there? Right? Why do we live there? We are a new creation, not just a repaired version of who you once were. I need you to hear that this morning. I think you need to hear this today. You have been dragging the same old life with you year in and year out, and that is not who you are any longer. You are not. You are a child of God. God is remaking you through the work of His Son Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we are no longer identified or enslaved by the old us. We are not. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this: Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. How about 1 Corinthians 7:23? You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of sin any longer. We have been freed from sin, right? Sin doesn't have a hold of us anymore. But if sin does have a hold of us, then we've invited sin in to have a hold of us. Because Jesus has freed us from the shackles of sin. And that is through God's saving grace, right? We were once a slave to sin. We were once identified by our sin. Trust me, I still run into people today who can't believe I'm a pastor. They want to remember me how I used to be. That's not who I am. I'm never going back there. You see, we were once a slave to sin. We once were identified by our sin. We once lived as sinners. But through God's saving grace gift that He's given us through Jesus Christ, we are now God's workmanship. You see, sin, pride, and fear no longer have any claim over us. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't look like those things sometimes, right? Like God's trying to and working in our lives. You see, God is remaking us. He owns us, and He has purpose for us. God's Word says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Good works are, now I'm gonna flip the script on you here. Good works are the result and can be an evidence of our salvation. Can be. Good works is, however, not the cause of our salvation. I need you to hear that. Okay? Good works are the result and can be an evidence of our salvation, but good works is, however, not the cause of our salvation. It's not. We become Christians through God's unmerited grace, not as the result of any effort on our own. Not at all. However, out of gratitude for this amazing gift, this amazing free gift, we will seek to help and serve others the way Jesus sought to help and serve others while He was here, right? With kindness, love, and gentleness, and not merely to please ourselves. If you give so it makes you feel good inside, I would ask you to check yourself. Because what happens when God wants you to give and you're feeling good about yourself? Well, I don't need to give. I already feel good about myself. No, we should be willing to give, to serve others at all times because it's a response to God. It's not to make ourselves feel good. There's days I get up and I think, man, God, I just really don't want to do this today. He says, yeah, get up. Get up and go. I'll take care of the rest. It's not always about making me feel good, because there's times when I serve and at the end of it, I'm just as grumpy as I was before I started serving. But you know what's amazing? God gets my attention because He is working in my life. He is changing my heart every single day. He's making me compassionate for things that I never had a passion or a compassion for in my life. I used to be such a judgmental Christian in the past. And now God has me so compassionate for people who don't know Him. For families who are struggling to keep their head above water. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, God, we can enter into their lives and we can make a difference. Not because it makes me feel good, because the reality is I'd love to just sleep in today, God. No, we do it because that is God's command on our lives. And as a response to one day when I breathe my last, I will be in heaven, I know it. And I don't want to get there and say, yeah, God, I did a really good job of living my life for me. No, I want to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right? And that means that I'm going to serve God even when I don't feel like serving God. Gratitude for the amazing free gift that God has given us. And that gratitude comes through our kindness, through our love, through our gentleness for others, not because they deserve it, but because we have received it from God, right? And not to please ourselves. Again, while there is no action or work that we can do to help obtain salvation, God's intention is that our salvation will result in acts of service. We are saved on purpose with a purpose. Do you believe that? We are saved on purpose with a purpose, and that purpose is for all God's children, not just for a handful of us. And that purpose is to be His hands and feet everywhere we go. To be His hands and feet and make Him known. I want to show you this video this morning and then I'll give you my closing thoughts after this video.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe four to five, maybe eight lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Oh, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know? I'll stay right here, and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh. Trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both.
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up.
I hold you up with my victorious righteous right hand, never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
The last thing I want to encourage you with this morning as you prepare to go into a new year, I want you to remember, first off, God's grace is a process in your life. He's at work. I want to encourage you, as you turn the page on another year, to walk in God's gift of grace. I mean, on Christmas, we were reminded once again of God's amazing and awesome gift in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the most awesome gift. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the ultimate gift of God's grace. You know, as I was thinking about this, and I think, man, you know, how could I encourage? I mean, my church family, as they prepare to leave behind 2025 and move into 2026, and I get it. There were some things that you're ready to run from. But this is the thing. Don't let this past year steal the joy of this free gift that you have received. Don't let your failures or your successes still the joy of the gift of God's grace. Did you mess up? Yeah. Did you leave some things undone? Probably. Are there unknowns in the year ahead? You better believe it. Is there trouble coming? Maybe. But God's grace remains on you. God's grace continues to work on you. I want you to be able to wake up every morning, and I want you to go to that mirror as you're brushing your teeth, and I want you to be able to say, I am God's masterpiece because of Christ Jesus. I mean, here you are, still standing at the end of a year, getting ready to move forward into a new year. There are new opportunities, maybe some uncertainties, I'm sure, and we certainly do not know what the future holds. We don't. Something that drives me very crazy is when people live in the what ifs. Don't live in the what ifs. Live in the moment of God's grace in your life. Knowing that if He allows things to happen, He didn't do them. You know, I think about this family that lost their son, and I'm sure that the dad is just thinking, God did this. No, God did not take your son. But in the midst of your son being taken, there's one thing I can guarantee you. God's grace will continue to work. God's grace will continue to work because the ultimate goal is that everyone knows Him as Lord and Savior. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen? He holds the future in His hands, and His hands are full of grace. I would like to issue a challenge as we close this morning, as you prepare and as you prepare to close 2025 and begin the new year. God has given you this beautiful gift of His in His grace. I hope you have received it. I hope you've opened up that gift. If you haven't, I just continue to pray that God will continue to pursue your heart and show you His prevenient grace. But if you have opened that gift and you have received His saving grace and you are living under His grace, you're living under His gift of grace, not judgment, not condemnation, but grace. I ask you this morning to allow God's grace to cover you and work in you so that 2026 will be even more glorifying of God than ever before. His grace is enough. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I thank You. We thank You for Your grace. God, we thank You for Your prevenient grace. Thank you for continuing to pursue us each and every day. God, when we get off course, when we get off your path, your grace continues to work. And God, as we're walking right hand in hand with you, your grace is a reminder that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. That you love us. That you're not judging us and you're not condemning us. God, I pray in Jesus' name this morning that as we leave here today, as we reflect on our lives, that we would see your work and we would trust in your process of making us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us to truly be your hands and feet here on earth. We love you, God, and we thank you. And we give all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord bless you. And I pray that he keeps you. I pray that he reveals.